Welcome back to Nature Magic, a positive voice for nature from Ireland. We took a little longer to come out of hibernation this year, but have some absolutely wonderful guests lined up. It's hard to believe the podcast is in its fifth year, having started in COVID on the 9th of April 2020 with the wonderful Mary Reynolds as our first guest. Have a listen back. We've spoken to over 70 incredible nature advocates and are delighted to launch the 2024 season with a Kinvara local, Anna Murphy, introducing a positive new movement that is in its infancy, Rights of Nature Galway. Anna moved to Kinvara in 2001, raised her three children here and works in the village. She has been involved in Plastic Free Kinvara, Kinvara Climate Action, the Ballanderreen Kinvara Tree Gang, and now Rights of Nature Galway. Activism gives Anna hope and helps with her eco-anxiety. Her message is simple. We need to reimagine our relationship with nature and protect it for this and future generations to head off a looming sixth mass extinction. So who will speak for species without a voice? This is the question posed by the Environmental Justice Network Ireland. Already countries such as Ecuador, Bolivia and Uganda have written rights of nature into their constitution. In 2018, the White Earth Band of Ojibwe, a tribal nation in North America, secured legal rights for manomin, a sacred wild rice and a traditional staple food. In doing so, they protected the species along with the habitats and water resources upon which it depends. Let's recognize people, nature, ecosystems, hills, rivers, streams, bogs, trees, and all that live in Ireland as part of our community. So hi Anna, it's lovely to have you here today. You've come all the way from Kinvara, about 1 kilometre down the road. We used to work together. We overlapped working as engineers, in Kinvara. And this is your real passion. So could you tell us what Rights of Nature actually means and a little bit about the movement?
Yes, Mary, I'd be delighted to. I came across Rights of Nature, I'd say, a year ago. And to explain what it means, it's a way of relating to nature differently, so that instead of being in dominance over nature and seeing it as a resource for us to use and to serve us, we stand alongside it, as part of it. In a more caring and respectful way. So it's similar in a way to indigenous cultures where they kind of see nature as family. So that's what it means broadly. So there's a legal implication as well that there are rights attributed to nature. So under a rights-based system of law, for example, a river would have a right to flow, the fish would have a right to thrive, and other species and root systems and so on, and the whole ecosystem would have a right to be healthy and not be polluted or degraded. And it would also mean that it's, as the mackerel would chase the sprat in the normal natural way of a natural life cycle, we could still continue to fish and so on. It's more about the balance of nature and it being a reciprocal balance. We take what we need, but not in this extractive manner.
I think we've lost the traditional feeling for nature. I mean, in Ireland, we had the Brehon laws years and years ago. I don't know if you were going to speak about them, where trees actually had rights. And if you cut down a tree, you had to give 3 cows to the local lord.
Yes.
And every tree and bush had a right. Yeah. And we've sort of lost that respect for plants, especially, and animals.
Yeah.
So your movement is Rights of Nature Galway.
Well, yes, we're part of an all-Ireland movement, which is another wonderful thing about this movement, which is actually a global movement, but there's a very strong movement in the north of Ireland, and they've started a group, they've been very active, and we kind of, I suppose, joined in with them and other activists around Ireland. And one of the main sort of campaigns that we're involved in at the moment comes out of the Citizens' Assembly on biodiversity loss.
Yes, could you tell us how that came about and what came out of the Citizens' Assembly on biodiversity loss?
Yes, so the Citizens' Assembly was involved 100 ordinary Irish people coming together, and through what they call deliberative democracy, so being fully informed by experts and workshops and so on over a period of time, came out with recommendations to protect nature. So they actually came out with 159 recommendations, and they were actually fairly what might be seen as radical and far-seeing, which to me is one of the most interesting things about this campaign, is that 100 people representing a cross-section of our rural and urban
randomly
country,
picked.
Randomly chosen,
yeah.
Came out with the idea that nature should be given rights. And in fact, there's a particular recommendation that the movement is focusing on, and it's I'm going to read out basically what it says. So it's number 31, and it says there should be a referendum of the people to amend the constitution with a view to protecting biodiversity, and humans should have substantive environmental rights to a clean, healthy, safe environment, a stable and healthy climate, and rights of future generations to these. And then nature should have substantive rights too, and be recognized as a holder of legal rights comparable to companies or people to exist, flourish, perpetuate, and be restored if degraded. So, you can see that that's quite far-reaching, but I think it's in light of the desperate situation we find ourselves in.
What we try to do at the Borough Nature Sanctuary in one step is to label up plants, even particularly weeds, with, English and botanical labels, to try and introduce people to the plant and gain respect. Because in some way, we have seemingly lost respect for the environment as a whole.
I think so. I think it is. It's that relationship and, for me anyway, I would see it as shifting away from weeds and whatever our attitudes are towards controlling nature to allowing nature to do its thing. And especially because our system of growth, in many ways for growth's sake and it being used as a measure of the health of a country, and every year to grow more and more is what is destroying nature. And we've already, in fact, Peter Doran, who is one of the Northern Ireland activists, and he's a law lecturer in Queen's University, he has been in front of the Oireachtas Committee on Biodiversity Loss that came out of the Citizens' Assembly. And he puts it like this: Ireland is a nation of both human citizens and the more than human. All the ecosystems, the landscapes, the rivers, trees and mountains, whose daily labour make our lives possible, make our rights meaningful, our economies possible. So Doran, who provided testimony at the Citizens' Assembly proposals, questioned the effectiveness of more than 50 years of global environmental lawmaking, with 6 of the Earth's 9 planetary boundaries, like ocean acidification and ozone levels, having been breached. We're in the midst of our 6th mass extinction event, and climate change is accelerating. So I think it's this alarm that came through from the Citizens' Assembly that we need to radically turn ourselves in a different direction.
I totally agree. Yeah. And I also think that people are getting the hang of climate change being mentioned all the time, but they don't really understand the biodiversity crisis.
Yes.
And it's tagged on to climate change as, oh yes, climate change and biodiversity.
Yes.
However, it's of equal importance.
Absolutely, yes. And I think, you know, what's happening, they're so interlinked. And I think I like your example of naming weeds and so on and stopping and looking and reconnecting and thinking, because in many ways I don't think this consumer society is really what people actually want.
You know? No, because I have a part-time job training environmental sustainability, and it's through SOLAS, and it's anybody that does a government course has to do 50 hours of environmental sustainability.
Right.
Now, they're not impressed with this because they might have gone in for their HGV license, their barbers, their apprentice jockeys. Mm-hmm. So I've had all these different groups, and quite often they're not even told that they have to do this 50-hour course. So you're faced with sort of 20 people who think, oh, here's a green eco-warrior. Every single person in that room cares about the nature of Ireland.
Yes.
And it's great to give them those 50 hours to think about it. And you find it means so much to every single... There isn't a person there that doesn't care.
I think so. And I think another thing that comes out of that when I talk to my neighbours and people in Canvara and... my farming neighbours, is they wonder what they're handing down to their children and their grandchildren, because they just see, they're so connected themselves, and they see the decline in birds and insects and all that kind of thing. So people are worried, you know. So I think people want our political systems to bring about change and enforce it as well.
And unfortunately, it suits some groups to set the Greens against the farmers, which is completely contradictory, because the farmers are the people looking after the nature. But they don't want the real problem, which is obviously the big business and who's making tons of profits.
Yeah.
The Greens aren't the problem. We are on the same side.
Yes, yeah, I agree. I think there's a lot of shenanigans in a way going on, but when you talk to the people on the ground, it's everyone kind of wants the same thing, really. You know, it's more the systems that need to change, really.
So it's very exciting to hear about a movement really in its infancy, and something that's sort of grown out of the Citizens Assembly, and it's such a positive message. So how are you going to get that message to the people, really, and how do they contact you?
Yeah, so contact, if people are interested in joining the movement, we would be delighted to have anybody, no matter how much they or little they have to offer time-wise, I mean. But it's rightsofnaturegalway@gmail.com at the moment. We have been discussing a website, but who knows. So we're trying really to get the message out there about rights of nature as a conversation, and so that people know what it means and people understand what it might mean for them. And in a way, there are two movements. There's the grassroots, and then there's stuff happening at a fairly high political level between the at the Oireachtas. In fact, this Thursday, 18th of April. 2024. some of us are going down to the Oireachtas, and it's always a great day out, although it's an early start. We're getting a 7:30 train, and we're going down to support there's a debate coming out of the Citizens' Assembly on biodiversity loss and climate change. And we're there to support and bring up rights of nature and really try to see if the government will listen to the voice of the people, because that's what the Citizens' Assembly is. It's our voice, and this is what we've asked for, that nature become a holder of legal rights, and that we have a right to healthy water and air. So, you know, there's we our grassroots group will be going out and demonstrating or supporting this, and then within the in the Dáil, there are other people at high level discussing the implications, because it's, you know, it's a complex enough idea, really. But asking that the voice of the people is heard. We've been doing other things too to try and spread the ideas. We've shown the film, Rights of Nature film. There are fantastic resources that we have at our fingertips on the, it's called the EJNI website, Environmental Justice Network Ireland. And on that there are films and other resources. It's a great website. So we're able to show those films, and we actually showed it at four different venues in Galway during March. And in fact, Mary has offered for us to show it later in the year in Kinvara. So we will be putting the word out. You'll be hearing about that. So it's a 40-minute long film, and it just explains, you know, how, in a way, how we can reimagine, as I said at the outset, how we relate to nature and how we care for nature and reverse what's happening. So it's wonderful, and wonderful people are involved in the movement up in the north, as I say, and around the country and around the world, because Ecuador have adopted it into their constitution, for example, and there are other countries too where, say, a river or a lake may have been given rights in other parts of the world.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. Mm-hmm. And the tagline for the podcast is A Positive Voice for Nature from Ireland, so yes. Nature magic.
Yeah.
And really, I know, I hope, Anna, you don't mind me saying that you felt nervous speaking on a podcast, because, I mean, it's the same with everybody.
Yeah.
But we have to speak, because obviously nature doesn't have a voice. You know, so even if you feel, you know, a bit shy to stand up, we really have to do this now and speak up for nature, for the plants, for the animals, and for our environment. So I want to thank you for doing this today.
Well, thanks.
And also,
yeah, thank you very much for the opportunity, and thank you for your great podcasts, because I've been listening to them. Incredible. You know, again, as you say, the voice for nature, it's just, and I'm glad you said it's important, because that helped as well.
Yeah, it is important, and to keep it positive as well, because we can reverse things. We know that
we can, and in fact, you know, there's another fantastic movement in our group in Kinvara, the Kinvara Boundaryne Tree Gang, and that's an incredibly positive, uplifting project underway, and we've planted numerous trees, and I think 5,000 to date, including a multiplier project. And that's, we're always looking for volunteers to come out for a couple of hours whenever it suits. And we often put a call out, and that's another area of anyone. I mean, certainly for me, something that's helped me with feeling hopeful and positive is getting involved in activism. Now that my children are grown up and I have time and so on, I just feel it really helps me so much to be involved.
Well, you speak really well, so I think you should speak more. So stand up and speak. But the rights for nature, let's get it into the constitution.
Yes.
And I know we mentioned that a book that we both love, Braiding Sweetgrass.
Yes.
So we recommend that. Why did you love that book?
I suppose it was very much along the lines of rights of nature and going back to Indigenous wisdom and the idea of nature being part of a family to which we all belong. And that sort of respectful. I learned things like Indigenous people of America, some of them spoke about trees as a standing people. Think, you know, that sort of idea to me is just, it feels to me as though it's helping us to remember who we used to be, as you mentioned earlier, the Brehon Laws and so on. You know, it feels like we need to get, to me, I don't want to be lecturing, but to get back to that place where we're not just destroying things. Sorry, I don't want to get negative. where we care,
because it is so reciprocal. Yeah, and it was just really interesting how the different, the sort of mystery and magic of nature, the complexity of the ecosystems, and I mean, I read it a few years ago, but it was, I found, and I see it referenced all the time in other books, Braiding Sweetgrass. It's a mixture of a scientist, a woman who brings her indigenous knowledge and her scientific knowledge together and looks at nature through both those lenses.
Yeah, you know? No, it is really super. Have you read Where the Crawdads Sing? That's another one. Obviously, it's a murder mystery, but you know, she really places you in the nature as well.
And
you, it's so lovely to meet the people who you know are the voice for nature. And you know, when you come across somebody, I was taking a couple on a pig walk the other day, and we started talking, and his father was from Arkansas. Is that the place?
Arkansas,
in the middle of America.
Yeah.
And he wants to support the Borough Nature Sanctuary now because he felt the respect for the land.
Respect
for the land. Yeah. So I think that might be a nice place to stop. Unless you have, would you like to say anything else, Anna?
No, just do volunteer for the tree gang if you can. And thank you, Mary. Listen to Mary's podcasts. They're incredible.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks Mary. So much, Anna. I'm sure there's more to say, but we'll put all the links in the show notes. And we'd love to invite you to come and see the film when it's shown here at the Borough Nature Sanctuary. And get in touch by email to join this really powerful and exciting new movement looking for rights for nature, for Ireland and globally. But this is the Irish branch, as you say.
Thank you very much, Anna.
Thank you, Mary.
Okay,
bye.
So we used to have a list of questions, which I kind of gave up on, but one of them was, what's your favourite animal? And I sort of miss that question now. So do you have a favourite animal, Anna?
Well, I have lots of favourite animals, but the one that pops to mind is fox.
Why do you love the fox?
I suppose you see them, they're always, you know, I don't know, their life looks like a bit of a struggle and yet they keep going and they're so beautiful. You know, the colour, they feel quite exotic in our landscape, you know, but, you know, they're just... they move almost like a cat, you know. So but thanks.
Their beauty and their resilience as well.
Thank you.
That's good message.
As we're in election season, Anna asked me to remind everyone to ask all the canvassing candidates for local, European and national election what they will do to protect nature for our children. Whatever colour your politics, we all want to protect our children's future.